O God, take our minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Imagine mid to early 1970s, about 74, 73, three boys dressed in the fashion of the times, white jeans, red and white stripes going down that way, big wide stripes, bell bottoms, excited for the Easter egg hunt that these 8, 7, and 6, or 9, 8, and 7 year olds are getting ready to go through. So when mom and dad say it's time to go, the youngest one runs out and says, "I get the hump, I get the hump." How many people know what the hump is in the back of a pickup? I'm glad it's not the younger ones that know this. And he runs through the door, flings it behind him. The second one goes through to catch the frame, and his hand goes through the window. And we all go to the ER because he needs 14 stitches down his arm. Another year passes, and another Easter. And as we're running through in the back of the pickup again, we're riding down the alley, coming back from the Easter egg hunt. And the youngest one grabs a hold of the branch, and we're all hitting him and say, "I bet you can't hold on to it." He holds on and gets pulled out of the back of the truck. That's how we learn about physics. Another time we get skateboards for Easter, and we're riding and we fall, and down goes somebody, and off to the ER we go again. Those are my Easter stories. It wasn't until I was older, because of the love somebody showed me, that I knew what the Easter story really was. I thought it was a time for a lot of activities outside and potentials for an ER visit. We would fish. We would help my grandfather get the garden ready. We'd have a cookout. It would always include hamburger on the grill, just the best ever. You can still smell and taste it. That was the Easter story until we became adults. As we become adults and we hear the lesson in this gospel lesson today, we hear two things happening. The apostles filled with doubt and fear, and Jesus appearing before them saying, "Peace of the Lord be with you." Now, the doubt and fear we kind of have a good grasp on, don't we? We doubt a lot. When something happens in our lives that ends us up in a situation that might require an ER visit, or something bad happens in our life, or something amazing happens that we didn't expect, there's some doubt and fear that go along with that. We kind of have that down pat. The peace of the Lord is what I want to talk to you about this morning. The peace of the Lord means something different, I think, than just a greeting or salutation that was custom at that time. As Easter people, brothers and sisters, we think of it, we should be thinking about that a little differently. Paul was imprisoned in Philippi, and he was in peace as he wrote Timothy letters from prison. He was in peace of the Lord. I'm sure he was fearful of his life, but he still was at peace, looking for that opportunity that God was going to present him, which he did, and he converted a jailer and his whole family. In our own lives, how many times are we not in peace and we miss opportunities? You see, as Easter brothers and sisters, we're called to action. When Jesus came to the upper room and found his disciples kind of hiding out in fear, he showed them his hands and his feet and say, "I have risen. This is not a ghost. I have risen. I have come back to show you what has been written is true. And now you're going to be called to action." How many of you have seen The Passion that Mel Gibson produced? Many of you. And at the end, when there's the image of the actor portraying Jesus walking out of the tomb with his hands, holes in his hands, I wanted to go on and show him talking to Mary. But it doesn't. The rest of the story lives in the Easter brothers and sisters here. The rest of the story ends in action. It never ends. This is what was going on in our gospel lesson. Because after this, the disciples go out into different directions. They're called to action. In our reading in Acts today, we hear of the healing of a lame man. This is an extension of Luke. They're called to action. We're doing a campaign of coins that the youth are collecting, and they're collecting them from all over the world. I think it would be a nice challenge for the clergy to address and find the coin and try to attach that to an apostle, wouldn't it? They went to different areas. St. Thomas himself is thought to believe to start the Christian church in India. They went in different directions. All over the world, called to action. And that's how you got here today. You are still called to action. Not the kind of action and the mischief that my brothers and I got into, but called to action to heal the broken, to give something to drink to the thirsty, even if it's the word of God, if that's what they're thirsty for, to clothe the naked, to shelter the unsheltered, to fix the broken, to lift up the fallen, and praise when praise is warranted for thanksgiving, and living in Lord's peace. We're always going to be filled with anxieties. It's our human nature. We have our own agendas. We have our own concerns. But when we live in the peace of the Lord, we know and believe in the resurrection. And we know and believe in the Lord who gave his Son for us, who rose again on the third day, who calls us to that action to others around us. Right now, I'm experiencing, and every once in a while you do this, experience somebody living in the peace. A fellow classmate of mine from high school was diagnosed with cancer, and she had a lumpectomy done this week, and the margins were good, and it looks like a good prognosis. She'll go through her chemo yet, but she's like, you can tell by her updates and when you talk with her that she's at peace, whatever that is, whatever that means. Very much like Paul when he was imprisoned. How many of us can say that we share that same confidence and that same peace and being at peace in whatever situation we're in? Because when you are, you'll notice the opportunities around you to lift others up. In central Kansas, where I had four churches, there's a community or extended training that I went through. And the sisters of CKMC told us that when they found somebody that was in a lot of pain over in one room, they would ask them to pray. And the pain would go down, their threshold of pain. They'd pray for somebody else in another room. One woman couldn't get over her pain, and they said that we talked to her and said, this woman over here is having a bad pregnancy. Do you mind praying with me and praying for her? The next day, that woman prayed all night, and her pain was relaxed. She's at peace. Her pain may or may not have physically been more or less, but she is more at peace. She knew God through her prayers for somebody else. I didn't add this in my other homilies, but a professor from Vanderbilt spoke to me 3 weeks ago, and they did a study in Vanderbilt saying that the Christian faith is going down lower and lower. And the reason that's a concern for the healthcare community is because when we lose our spirituality and the belief in God, their call for medication goes up. Isn't that amazing? We should live in that peace as often as we can. And look for that opportunity to pray for someone else. Because not only does it heal the broken you're praying for, it heals us as well. Live in God's peace. We're going to offer it here in a moment. And it should always be a reminder of you as an Easter people that celebrate and live in the resurrection of Christ. Believers that Christ did rise on the third day. Believers that you're being called to action to your time, your talents, and your treasures in any aspect that presents themselves. All opportunities are an opportunity to serve. It's up to us to respond to those opportunities in action. Be the Easter people and live and look for that action that you're called to. Amen.